Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hold his sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Saturday, January 3rd, Sunday, January the 4th. What a great joy it is to start another year of broadcasting, of the 30-minute broadcast. And I praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing and how he is blessing and helping us here in the ministry. We're looking forward now to a great year in the Lord. I hope you'll continue to listen to these broadcasts as we continue to go out into many states, many places that the Gospel Pulpit is now going. And this 30-minute broadcast has really grown, and we go into several places with it, and I praise the Lord. But I do want to say something. I do not call names on the radio, but I want to say this. Sometimes I'll make an exception, I guess, but I want to say that our listeners are a real blessing. And I hear from so many of you people. I really do. I hear from so many of you. Amen. And so many people out of our home church there at Fall Creek Baptist say that they listen to us. And I appreciate it. I thank God for what the Lord's doing and how people are listening to the programs and literally all across the country, people are listening. And my goal is to be a blessing to you. Amen. Now, if you don't have the GBI radio app, I hope you'll download that. It's in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. That's GBI Radio. And on that app, it'll give you access to our broadcast stations, but it'll also give you access to PTG Radio, which is our internet station preaching the gospel. And you'll hear great men of God like Lester Roloff, Stinnett Ballew, Jack Hiles, Tom Malone. You'll hear some men of today like Brent Logan, Rudy Smith, Joe Arthur, different ones of that nature, Tim Fallure, great men of God. And I hope that you will take advantage of this and download the app, the GBI Radio app. It's in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. Then I also encourage you to put us on your prayer list and pray for us. And I encourage you also to write us. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to come by. If you're a pastor, we'd love to come by your church and present the burden for our work and let you know what we're doing. Amen. I'm not looking for a place to preach. I'm just looking for maybe 10 minutes of your time to tell you what we're doing and give you a burden for GBI and what God is doing for us here. This does not take the place of the local church, but there are many people who cannot go to church. I got a letter from a lady the other day, and she's shut in. She can't go to church. She used to go to a prominent Bible-preaching Baptist church, great man of God, her pastor, but she can't go any longer, and the radio is all she has. And I'm glad to be able to serve these people and preach the Word of God and uplift them and help them as much as I can. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the day's broadcast. I pray you'll use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today's message, we come to our 32nd message in the life of David, and it's called David's Trouble. Now, we come to message number 32 in the life of David, our text verse, 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And today we're going to look at verses 10 through 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verses 10 through 16. The Bible says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice, and Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from him, was departed from Saul. Verse number 13 says, Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him the captain over 1,000. Let me go back here. I want to read these words right in verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. Then verse number 14, the Bible says, And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse number 15, Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today confessing all sin. I pray you'd help us in this hour to say what we need to say. And Lord, that we do not need to say, take it from our minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've titled this message, David's Trouble. And right here is where now things begin to really take a turn. Now, we know the story. David's just killed Goliath. And him and Saul, they're greeting the people of Israel. And the women said he's slain, David has slain his 10,000s and Saul his 1,000s. Well, that displeased Saul. And in our last message, we left off with the verse, and Saul eyed him from that day forward. In other words, he's jealous of David. Now, the jealousy picks up, and David's trouble as a young man begins. Let me read to you from Job chapter 14, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Now, I just want to say a word here, because I feel like in this study of the life of David, the Lord has directed me to go slow. And I've tried to speed up. I've tried to go fast. The Lord will not let me do that. And so the Lord wants me just to bring out things as I get to them. God is bringing out things to me that He wants to say to the people. And one thing here that I think of is this. I thank God for young people. I want you to understand something. I'm not against young people. Many preachers think Catherine's against the youth. I am not against the young people. But I am for the development of young people. As a matter of fact, I believe the secret to revival in America is building a fire under these young preachers. I believe that. Get these young men preaching again like we were 40 years ago. Now, here's the deal. What I'm saying is this. Many people, they for lack of a better word, they pet their young people. They make everything so easy for them. And this is their saying, "I had a hard life, and I don't want my kids to have it harder than I did." Now, I want to ask you this question. Why not? Let me say this to you. Through the hard times is where you're shaped. Nobody ever grew to full strength eating chocolate pudding and cotton candy. Now, amen, there had to be some pinto beans and peas and corn and things of that nature along the way. Now, young people, it is good for them to have some adversity in their life. It is good for you young boys to have a job and work. Amen. God has ordained work. God, now listen, society in America has not, and America's going to collapse as a nation. I just want to tell you that. America is being overthrown from the inside out with our philosophies and our silly thought process that we have toward people today, because we're teaching a society to not work. We're also teaching a society to gamble and bet and play the lottery, and if you can win $1 million. God never ordained that. God ordained labor. God ordained work. Now, David kept the sheep, and then David goes to the palace. Now, David is promoted, and now Saul has become jealous because of the song of the women. So now here, David's trouble really begins. David begins to have now trouble with Saul. And so this is going to carry on for the next several chapters. Let's look at it. Verse number 10. "And it came to pass on the morrow." Now, notice that is very important, on the morrow, because that's the day after Saul's jealousy. That's the day after that the Bible said he eyed him from that day forth. All right? Saul's jealousy. Now, I want to say again, I said this probably in the last message, I'll say it again here. Jealousy, my friend, if you have that, it'll ruin you. All right? Maybe I didn't say that, but it's cruel as the grave. And you can be jealous. You know, a man sometimes will get jealous of his wife, or a woman will get jealous of her husband, and that'll ruin a marriage if you're not careful. Amen? Did you know that'll ruin a church? You preachers get jealous. Young preachers get jealous. And the pastor, I've known pastors that are jealous over their members, afraid they're going to go somewhere else. Well, listen, folks, if you live that kind of life, you're going to live a terrible life. It's going to bother you all your life. And so now here's David, a young man, and now Saul has got jealous against him, and here's the results, really, of jealousy and envy. Now, we also know that, of course, God has already said that Saul is not going to continue being king. And Saul was a fleshly king. I believe Saul was a saved man. But Saul could not accept the facts. He could not accept the facts that God was going to remove him from being the king of Israel. Now, the second thing I want you to notice, look in verse number 10. The Bible said in the first part, and it came to pass on the morrow. Notice the second part of it, that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Now, this was a demon or a devil that the Lord allowed to come upon Saul. And by the way, I'm going to say this now, and I know the Old Testament and the New Testament is a little bit different as far as the Spirit of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and they dwells in me and now. But let me talk about the devil for just a minute. There's a lot of myths. There's a lot of silly stuff out there about demons and devils. And so I want to clear something up here if I can and try to help you. I'm not the authority on it, but I'll give you what the Bible says. A demon or a devil, I like to use the word devil because that's what the Bible uses. A devil cannot possess a saved man. I want you to understand that. A saved man cannot be possessed with the devil. I want you to understand that, okay? So if you're born again, if you're saved by the grace of God, you cannot be possessed with the devil. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. If you're a lost person, you can be possessed with the devil. I believe there's more people in this day and hour, especially in America, possessed with the devil than there's ever been in our lives. That goes back to pornography. It goes back to Hollywood. It goes back to the junk, the immorality that we're being taught, the standards that are being let down, the things that we allow in our lives. Okay, but now here's a situation where this is a saved man, Saul, and yet the Lord is allowing the devil to plague Saul. Now, this principle is in the New Testament, all right? In the book of 1 Corinthians, we find a man in the church of Corinth who had his own father's wife for his wife. In other words, he's committing fornication. The church was puffed up about it. The church went along with this man. They went along with his sin. Now, you know, in our churches today, if you like somebody and they commit a great sin, it's, well, I know they did wrong, but they're a good person. You ever heard that? Well, let me say this to you. Sin ought to be dealt with. No matter who they are, no matter who you are, you're not above sin. You're not the victim. Everybody that gets in a sinful situation in our day wants to be the victim. Well, you know what? This man in 1 Corinthians 5 was not the victim. And this is what the Apostle Paul said about him. And I've tied this back into David. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Paul is talking to the church of Corinth. He said, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. This man will not be judged for his sins, but his spirit will be saved, but his body will be destroyed by the devil. Now, I believe that there are people that God has given over to the devil. I believe there's some saved people that God has given over to the devil, and the devil will have his way and destroy them. And I believe that Saul was one of these people. I think that Saul's life declined more and more and more. This was a gradual process in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. This was not a process that would happen overnight, but it would be gradual. He would turn him over to Satan. It's a sad thing when God says, okay, if you want to live in the world, I'll just let you live in the world and I'll turn you over to the devil. Now, you know, that's a pretty sad remark. How are you going to stand before God when you get to heaven in the presence of Paul and Isaac, Abraham and Jacob and Daniel and Noah and Isaiah and these Jeremiah and these great men have stood, and even our Lord Jesus Christ, and you got turned over to Satan because you lived a worldly life. You lived a lot sort of a Christian life, and you lived a carnal life. Well, we better be careful how we live, hadn't we? But here's Saul. Now, I believe that God turned him over to the devil. I believe this. I believe he was a saved man. I'm not going to argue about that. But I believe that God allowed this evil spirit from the Lord to come upon him. By the way, the devils are subject unto God. So that's why God can say from the Lord, because everything's from the Lord. Amen. And so Saul is now turned over to the devil. Now look at verse number 10 again. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. Now, in other words, he preached or he foretold things. Now, one is said, and I would have to agree with this commentary writer, that said that this prophesying had more to do with his mannerisms than it did actual prophesying. Saul was not qualified. I know he was among the prophets, and he did that to a few times in the Bible. But in other words, Saul here was not prophesying what he ought to have been prophesying. Let me put it that way. Even if he's qualified, he wasn't prophesying what he should have been. And so, have you ever seen anybody that kind of mocks preaching? I had some members of my family. I wouldn't call the name on the radio, but they kind of mocked being a preacher. I mean, they'd act like they was, you know, I mean, they'd go out and commit their sin, but yet they wanted to live religiously. And I tell you, religion is mean. Religion is cruel. But when a man gets turned over to the devil, he has a little bit of an element of God about him. I heard about a man who was a preacher, and he got away from God. Amen. He got away from God. He backslid. Maybe he was running from the call to preach. I can't remember the exact story. But anyway, I think maybe he was a preacher, and he got away from God. He backslid. And he went back to the bar, and he got drinking. Now, he didn't lose his salvation. But what he would do when he'd get drunk, they said, man, he'd walk up and down the streets and preach. Well, he wasn't really preaching. It's more of his mannerism. You ever seen a drunk man try to preach? You ever seen a drunk man try to tell you about God? He don't want anything to do with anybody until he gets drunk. Now, when he gets drunk, he'll call the preacher, he'll call grandma, grandpa, he'll call everybody, and he'll want to preach to them, talk about God to them. You see, that's the influence of the alcohol. And here's what Saul was. He was under the influence of the devil. Now, the devil could not possess him. The devil did not have control of him. The devil could not take him to hell. But the devil possessed Saul, all right? And so, Saul prophesied, all right? Now, that's really what he was doing, was making a mockery. He was really just making a mockery of God and of the work of God, all right? And that showed the marks of really being turned over to the devil, all right? Now, let's look on. Verse number 10, the Bible said, and David played with his hand as at other times. Now, do you know what? Now, David had already played before Saul. David had already seen this evil spirit. David had already seen this mental illness that Saul had, and yet David went back because why? David was a faithful man, and David was a man that was very faithful to God, and if that failed his lot to play for Saul, he was going to do it. Now, at this time, David was set over the men of war, and David could have said, hey, I don't want to play for Saul. You know, get some other little boy. Now, I'm a general now. All right, but David wanted to serve Saul. David was faithful in serving Saul. I don't know now here with David's new promotion how that David ended up before Saul, but I guess Saul liked his playing, you know. And that music was a patch for that evil spirit. It would calm Saul down for a while, and then Saul would get evil and wicked again. But David was a faithful man. By the way, let me just say this. In your life, even though David was in the palace, all right, and David was headed for the throne, okay? Yet his life was not easy. Now, pastor, if you think, preacher, if you think you're going to get a big church and everything's going to go just right, and you're going to live it up, and you're going to just have the best time in the world, and you're going to hunt and fish and golf, and you're just going to have the best time in the world and no problems whatsoever. Well, you got another thing coming. If you try to do something for God, you're going to have problems. Again, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, Job 14:1. Now, here's David. David's trouble sets in at a young age. David is experiencing trouble at a young age. And what does David do? He does not run from that trouble. He's faithful to do his duty before Saul. Amen. And when trouble comes, don't let trouble drive you out of the ministry. Don't let trouble drive you out of the marriage. Amen. Don't let trouble drive you out of the house of God. Don't let trouble drive you from the Bible or from prayer. That's what the devil wants, you see. The devil is I believe he comes before God. And I think he picks out certain people, or maybe God picks out certain people and says, Satan, have you tried old Bob over there? And the devil's tactic is, if I can get Bob to quit praying, if I can get Bob to quit reading his Bible, if I can just make it so tough on old Bob, then, you know, I'll get him down. Well, you know what? And then I believe Satan accuses and laughs when a Christian falls. I really believe the Bible said that he's an accuser of the brethren. And I don't believe every case turns out like Job's did. God said, as thou considered my servant Job. Now, God knew what Job would do, but every case don't turn out like Job. And I think there's some casualties along the way, and I think the devil probably laughs, but God's going to have the last laugh when he casts him in the lake of fire. Amen. So here is Saul, and here is David. Now, the Bible said in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, most men will proclaim Everyone his own greatness, but a faithful man who can find. Well, most men's going to brag about themselves and say how good they are, but David didn't do that. David just was a faithful man who can find a faithful man. Saul had the most faithful man in Israel serving him. And through the thick and the thin, even though through the evil spirit, I don't know what all Saul did when he got possessed with the devil. He may have broke the furniture. I mean, I don't know. He may have threw the cups, and I don't know what he did. But no doubt there was problems there, because his servants realized, I've said this in another message, he needed some help. And so here's David. David just continues to be faithful to play before him. Now, notice the fifth thing I want you to notice, verse number 10. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now, that's important. Now, a javelin was a spear of about 5.5 feet long. It was a spear, all right? Now, Saul's sitting there, and this evil spirit, and Saul's already jealous, and Saul's already mad, and so this javelin, and David's playing, and boy, there's a javelin. Now, Saul can use this javelin for good or for bad, okay? For good or bad, he can use this javelin. Now, I want to say this to you. There are things in your life that you can use for good, or you can use it for bad. Did you know that? You can use your talents. There's a message in that javelin, all right? Maybe I should preach sometime on the ministry of the javelin, all right? That javelin was made to do good with. It was made to fend off enemies. That javelin, there's nothing wrong with the javelin here. There is something wrong with the man that's holding the javelin, all right? There's nothing wrong sometimes with things, but there's something wrong with a man that's misusing the things. You can misuse your talents. Singing country music is a misuse of your talents, all right? Singing rock music is a misuse of your talents if you're a born-again Christian, all right? You ought to use your talents for God, amen? Playing some bluegrass song is a misuse of your talents if you're born again, all right? Singing worldly stuff is a misuse of your talents. If you can write, writing some love story is a misuse of your talents when you can write a book about God, amen. And you can write about the things in the Bible, amen. If you're a lady, you could write books to help ladies. If you're a man, you could write books to help. And you see, so many times we take little things in life and we misuse what God has given. Your money could be a misuse. Your money can be a blessing or it can be a curse. You could invest money in the work of God. You could send missionaries to the mission field. You could help radio preachers. You could help help men go on other radio stations. You could help bill stations. You could help churches do great ministries, or you could take all that money and live it up and stay on vacation half the time. You see, you can misuse anything. And yet Saul's going to misuse this javelin here, all right? But now it's going to be used for bad, not for good, all right? Now notice this, Saul was misusing the javelin, but religion sometimes is cruel. And remember, Saul is prophesied. He prophesied in the midst of the house. He probably spoke some good things about God, and yet the devil was bothering him. He had that javelin with him and in his hand, all right? Now, let me say, sometimes religion is cruel. Did you know that? Did you know that religion can be? Now, I'll put it to you this way. I'm just going to say some things here on the radio. If you handling snakes is something that you didn't get, rightly dividing the word of God. So if you're in the snake handling business, that's cruel religion, all right? Let me give you a group of people in the Bible that were very cruel. You remember Elijah had a contest on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. It's just Elijah for the Lord and those men for Baal. Y'all remember that, don't you? Well, the Bible said in 1 Kings 18, verse number 28, the Bible says, and they cried aloud, talking about the prophets of Baal, and they cried aloud, The Bible said, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner. Wait a minute now. With knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. I tell you what, I believe I would have been leaving that service, my friend. When they brought the knives out and said, the cutting begins, I think Brother Ricky would have left. All right, amen. I'm not going to be in a service where they pass the knives out and say, we're going to cut ourselves. I like myself too good. Now, religion is cruel. Religion never tells anybody to offer a human sacrifice. Not God's religion, not the gospel. We don't do that. We save life. We don't destroy life, you see. Now, back in the Old Testament, they would begin to worship idol gods. And you'd read how they'd make their children to pass through the fire. Now, those kings had power over their own children. Can you imagine the mothers of those children? as a little baby was tucked out of her arms, said, "We're going to sacrifice the baby," and she's pleading and begging with her husband, the king, because he's got more wives than one. He probably just says, "Shut up," and go on, and leaves her alone, and she's sitting there crying, lost her child, you understand? And she loved that child more than he did. Amen. And you see, what I'm saying to you is this: religion is cruel, but Jesus Christ is wonderful. Amen. Jesus, you remember James and John, don't you? And boy, they didn't want to. There's a certain crowd. They didn't do like they thought they ought to. And James and John asked the Lord, said, "Wilt thou that we call fire down from heaven and consume them?" Now, I'll give them this. They had enough faith to believe they could call the fire down. But man, I tell you what, were they out in left field? God said he didn't come to destroy man's life. He come to save it. So any religion that destroys life is of the devil. I want you to understand that. God's salvation, God's gospel saves life. It does not destroy life. It saves life. I want you to understand that. So, all right, now let me move on. All right, then let's look in verse number 11. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David to the wall with it." Well, now, boy, that's something right there, ain't it? Now, Saul had in his heart all that jealousy. It had built up in him, and he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll kill him." Now, listen, you know what Saul did? He is letting murder get in his heart right there. Now, that jealousy had already turned into murder. I'm going to tell you again, you keep that jealousy up, and no good will come of it. If you're always jealous of your wife, nothing good will come of that. If you're always jealous of your husband, nothing good will come of that. I promise you, nothing good will come of it. You say, "Preacher, I would never do what Saul was trying to do." You'll do something crazy one of these days. The devil will see to it. You let bitterness grow in your heart. You let poison grow in your heart. And I tell you, something bad will happen. Pastor, you keep being jealous at that church, and something bad will happen. You'll have unexplained problems one of these days. Amen. You young preachers, you keep being jealous, and God will never use you. I promise you. You'll have to put that thing away early. Now, as you see, things start in the heart. Matthew chapter number 15, verse 19 says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." You see, all that comes from the heart. And so Saul had sat there. He had got that jealousy. That kept ringing in his ears. David has slain his 10,000s and Saul his 1,000s. And that kept ringing in Saul's ears. That kept bothering Saul. And so he got jealous. And now he's taking a step further. Now he's thinking about murder. "I'll take this javelin, this 5.5-foot long spear, and I'll smite him to the wall. I'll kill him. That's what I'll do. I'll kill him." Well, let me tell you something, brother. When you get thinking like that, you're on dangerous ground. And you need to get in an altar somewhere. You need to get a place somewhere and pray and beg the Lord to help you, because you're in trouble, my friend, when you get there. Now let's move on in our message today. All right, we see in verse number 11, "And David avoided out of his presence twice." Now, David could have said the first time that he did that, "I tell you, if somebody throwed a javelin to me, I think I'd probably protested." Of course, he'd probably got his head cut off, but I think I'd run probably. And David didn't run. By the way, thank God that he didn't. Amen. He didn't run when the battle was on. Amen. How would you like to get a javelin, a 5.5-foot long spear, thrown at you? Why, the first time he throwed it at you, I tell you what, I bet you'd want to quit, wouldn't you? Boy, there's many of us want to quit preaching, want to quit the ministry of God, because the devil throws his sword at us. And we say, "Well, I guess I'll just quit. Boy, the devil's after me." Why, brother, listen. Amen. The devil's going to be after us till the day we die. I'm not going to, by the grace of God, I don't want to stand before God in the judgment seat and say, "Well, I got tired of the fight and the devil throwed his spear at me and I just quit." Why, listen, you pastors over at that church, don't you leave that church till God tells you to leave. Amen. Now, if he tells you to leave, don't you stay 1 minute longer. Amen. I believe that God tells men, amen, to move and to not move. I believe that. I believe God directs it, not man directs it. And man has a lot of thoughts about pastoring and churches and all this and that and the other thing. But I believe that God moves people sometimes. I believe sometimes God don't move people. And I believe that the key to life is you finding God's will and you going with what God says in your life. I believe the key to a church is finding God's will for the pastor. Amen. Now, if the church gets the wrong pastor, they might do some things, but they'll never do what God wanted them to do through the man that God had for them. Okay? If a man gets the wrong wife, he's married. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, January 3rd, Sunday, January the 4th. And you've been listening to a message entitled David's Trouble, R453-32. If you want a copy of today's message, just put today's date on there, write for it. We can send it to you in email, or we can send it to you by CD. Just let us know which you want. If it's email, let us know your email address. And you can also email us comments@gbiradio.org. We're on this station at the same time every week right here, so I hope you'll join us again next week for the Gospel Pulpit. And until next week, may God bless you. It's my prayer. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.